Good morning. I'm going to admit, after the last 2 weeks of a great week at RYM and VBS this past week, I'm still trying to figure out what day it is. So I was told it was Sunday, and we got a sermon. So here we go. This morning, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 22, looking at verses 1 through 14. Genesis chapter 22, found on page 16 in your pew Bible. As we come to Genesis 22 this morning, this is one of the last great episodes, narratives in Abraham's life. Abraham, a man, as for me growing up in the church that I heard a lot about, he was always the model patriarch, the man who had faith. We just heard about that in Hebrews 11 this morning. By faith, Abraham did these things. And so as I was growing up, I had this picture of Abraham that he was the man who had it all together. He never messed up. He never sinned. He was this perfect person, saint, if you will. And so as I grew up and entered college, I got involved with RUF and a Bible study there, and by chance we were going through Genesis. And so I really began to pay attention to the Bible, maybe for one of the first times here. And you pay attention to Abraham's life and you realize he didn't always have it figured out. He didn't have it all together. Abraham messed up. He was not the model patriarch that I heard of growing up. He was a man after God had made the promises to him in Genesis 12. Abraham was counted as righteous because he believed God. The covenant promises were made to Abraham, and then Abraham and Sarah and all their servants go into Egypt after there's a famine in the land of Canaan. And Abraham, what does Abraham do? He lies about Sarah, his wife, and says it's his sister, trying to protect himself because he knew Pharaoh would kill him if he knew that Sarah was his wife. And then later on, again, God has promised Abraham offspring, that you will have an heir. Abraham and Sarah lived many years, and they had no children. And Abraham began to wonder, where is this heir going to come from? And so it's Sarah's insistence, he has a child with Hagar, her servant. And so again, Abraham failed to believe God's promises. He had a moment of weakness. And so he was not the model hero of faith that we tend to hear in Sunday school growing up. In fact, Abraham was a mixed bag, like most of us. There are moments when we have moments of great faith, and there's moments when we struggle with unbelief and doubts. And so Abraham was just like us. But as we get to Genesis 22 this morning, all these things, all of Abraham's life comes together in this story that we find in these verses. And Abraham finally gets it right here in Genesis 22. And he trusts the Lord. He trusts the Lord completely. And we're going to see that in a few moments here as we read from God's Word. But Abraham gets it right here in Genesis 22. So with these things said, let's stand now as we hear from God's Word this morning. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went out and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Let's pray now. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Abraham and the story of how you worked in his life over many years. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that you would reveal great truths about your word to us now, even in these next few moments. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Spring of 2009, Sarah and I were engaged to be married. We were living in Augusta, Georgia at the time. And we had two full-time jobs, and we lived within a couple hours of all of our family. Sarah's grandmother, we called her Grammy, lived there in Augusta, and we were very close with her, and she means a lot to us, meant a lot to us at the time, of course, as well. And so we were comfortable. We were living comfortable. We were there in a place of familiarity. And then during that time of engagement, and then just after we were married, I began to have these thoughts about, I don't think banking is what I want to do the rest of my life. And so Sarah and I began to have these conversations. I've been working in banking for about 4 years at the time, since finishing school at UGA. And so we began to talk about this. And as Sarah and I talked and we prayed through these things, she pointed me to one of our pastors at the church we were attending. And so over the course of a few months of us talking with him and praying through these things, full-time ministry is where we landed. And of course, that meant seminary. I'd been thinking about ministry since college, going back to my time in RUF. And so this was always in the back of my head. And so we felt we were being led and pushed to follow the Lord in this direction. And so that meant giving up all these things of comfort that we were talking about, family nearby, two full-time jobs. When you go to seminary, a lot of times you may take on some debt. And so we're going into uncharted territory. And on top of that, we decided to move to St. Louis, Missouri, of all places. I lived in Georgia all my life. Sarah had as well. The most I'd been out of Georgia was a couple of summers that I worked in the western North Carolina mountains at a camp during college. And so we were moving 12-plus hours away from family, all these things that were comfortable to us and familiar. And we're going to move to St. Louis. We know nobody there. And I'm going to go to seminary and pursue this calling to ministry. And so our parents probably thought we were crazy. In fact, I think if you asked them, even now, they would say we were crazy at the time. And we probably thought we were crazy. Like, what are we doing? We're about to leave all these things that are so, you know, close and familiar to us, and we're going to move somewhere that we have no idea what's going to happen there. So the question that goes through our head is, Lord, you want me to do what? And so the Lord was testing our faith, I think, in those days. And I think that's what's going on here as we come to this story with Abraham and this command to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham is being tested. The Lord is testing him to see how he's going to respond. What does Abraham really believe? The Lord comes to Abraham and says, I want you to give up your only son and offer him up as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice. And so Abraham goes forward with this. And he trusts the Lord. And we see that throughout this story. And as I read this, I think about ourselves, and I think we're not always like that. We don't always trust the Lord. There are times when we doubt. Okay, we struggle with doubt. We struggle to believe that the Lord is good, that the Lord is for us, that he will provide for us. But as we look and go through these verses, I want us to look at what Abraham is doing. We're going to see Abraham trusting the Lord. We're going to see him trusting the Lord in different ways. And at the end, I want us to see that we can trust the Lord to provide for us. God is for us. And so we're going to see that Abraham trusts the Lord in at least three different ways this morning. He trusts him promptly. He trusts him continually throughout the story. And then he's confident in what the Lord is telling him to do. And we'll see that in the words and actions of Abraham as we go through the text. But as we begin to look at the text, we see the first thing in verse 1 is that God tested Abraham, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. And when we hear this word tested, we wonder what that means. In one sense, it hints that some sort of drama is coming. Some sort of decision is going to have to be made. Okay? Testing reveals the true person, the inner person, what the person really believes. And so as we open up the story, we see that Abraham, his faith is going to be tested. What he really believes is going to be put on the line. And so we're wondering from the very beginning, how's this all going to end from Abraham? What's he going to do? Is he going to do what he's done before and trust in himself and do it his way, or is he going to trust the Lord? And then the other thing I think we have to acknowledge here from the very beginning is we got to acknowledge that this is the elephant in the room, so to speak, but what God is asking Abraham to do is a little disturbing. I think if we're honest with ourselves and we read this story, and some of you may be reading the story and hearing it for the first time, it's a little odd. And even if you read it for years, it's still like, you know, what's going on here? And so God tells Abraham to give up your son, your only son, this son Isaac that he's waited for many years, that he and Sarah have waited for. And he's saying, I want you to give him up and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. As a burnt offering. A burnt offering involved the cutting up of animals, and usually it was a sheep or birds or something like that, and they would be burned, these animal pieces, on the altar, and it was the person that offered them up to the Lord, it was a way to atone or make peace for their sins before the Lord. And so God tells him to sacrifice Isaac. As I said, this is a disturbing story, but I think if we admit this early on, it helps us see and highlight the degree of faith that Abraham exhibits in this story. And so the question I want us to think about as we get into it here is, if God came to you and was calling you to do something difficult, not necessarily like what he's asking Abraham to do, but could you do it? Could you go through with that command, that request? Could you do what God's asking you to do? And so as we look, we're going to look at this story through the eyes of Abraham and his actions and see how he trusted the Lord. As I said earlier, the first thing we see is Abraham promptly trust God. We don't get Abraham's inner thoughts, his thought process when God comes to him with this command to sacrifice Isaac. But what we do see is we see Abraham's actions, okay? Particularly in this story, he's a man of action. His actions speak very loudly. Verse 3, we see that Abraham gets up early the next morning. God's given him this command the day before, and he gets up early the next morning. He saddles his donkey. He cuts the wood himself, and he takes two of his servants with him, and they're going to head to Moriah. All right, so Abraham acted quickly. He didn't ask for a sign. He didn't say, Lord, should I do this? Give me a sign. Is this really what I'm supposed to do? He didn't question it. He just did it. And he moves quickly. And then another indication of Abraham's thoughts at this process and how he's trusting the Lord is when God calls to him in the beginning, he says, here I am. Abraham's not hiding. Remember back, if we're familiar with the biblical story in creation, Adam and Eve have sinned. God comes looking for them and calls to them, and they hide from him. But Abraham's not hiding. When God calls him, he says, here I am. He's there, and he moves quickly. He doesn't debate with God and say, Lord, I'm not sure if this is a good idea. He just does it. He gets up early the next morning. He gets his two men. He cuts the wood himself, and then he saddles his donkey to head to Moriah. Now, those of you who have been in the military are probably familiar with this. When you're in the military, when someone gives you an order, you don't question it, you do it. And particularly when you're in the heat of battle and you got bullets flying over your head and bombs and the enemy surrounding you and you're in the heat of battle, you don't have time to question what someone tells you to do. You do what your commanding officer tells you to do. You do it promptly and you don't waste any time doing it. You've got to move quickly in order to survive. And then as you as infantrymen in the military, you've got to respond to what your commanding officer does. And this trust starts to develop even in basic training, as early as basic training. I'm reminded of the HBO series Band of Brothers that details Easy Company and their time from basic training in the North Georgia mountains in the early 1940s all the way to D-Day and beyond. This series chronicles their history, their story. And these men, early in their days of basic training, begin to rally around Major Richard Winters. He was a leader, and he became leader of Easy Company. And these men trusted him. They knew he was for him. They knew that he was watching out for their best interest. And so they followed them, and trusting him and trusting each other helped them to survive. And so the same thing has happened with Abraham. Abraham has lived many years. He's walked with the Lord many years, as we've already established. And so he's seen that God has been faithful to him. And so when God comes to him and says, Abraham says, "Here I am." And then God gives him the command to sacrifice his son, to take his son to Moriah and sacrifice him. Abraham doesn't question. There's no hesitation. He goes and does. So he saddles his donkey, gets his men, and cuts the wood for the journey. But as I think about this, think about myself and all of us, are we as quick to follow the Lord when he commands us to do certain things, when he calls us to certain places? Are we so eager to follow when it's difficult? Is it easy for us? Do we quickly forgive those who harm us? Whether that's a family member, someone we work with, a friend? Or do we just harbor that inside of us? Or are we quick to forgive as the Lord calls us to do? So we see that Abraham is trusting the Lord and he's moving quickly. Okay, but that's not the only way he trusts the Lord in these verses. He also is continually trusting the Lord throughout this story. And if we look at verse 4, we see that after 3 days, Abraham looked up and saw the mountain from afar. So Abraham, they've been on a journey for 3 days. And it was about 50 miles from where Abraham was to Moriah. So that was a long journey in those days. They're taking their donkeys and, you know, they're walking. And so travel was slow during those days. And so that's a lot of time for Abraham to think about what the Lord's asked him to do. There's a lot of quiet time. If you've ever been on a long road trip, there's a lot of quiet time on the road. And so there's a lot of quiet time for Abraham and Isaac to be together. And there was a lot of time for him to doubt, to wonder if he should go back home. Should he play it safe and not even go and do what the Lord's called him to do? And so he's probably even thinking during this time, how's God going to work this out? Abraham knows that the Lord is with him, that the Lord is for him. And so Abraham's thinking, how's God going to work this out, what he's asked me to do? But as we see, Abraham doesn't waver. He doesn't turn back. He keeps going forward. He continues to go forward to where God's called him to go. And then in verse 9, when they reach the place, we see that he continues to follow the Lord. He builds the altar. He lays the wood on top of it. And then verses 10 and 12, he binds Isaac and lays Isaac on top of the altar. And we need to stop and think here for a moment. Isaac was a teenager at this time. And so Isaac was a strong guy. Abraham's old. Isaac, if he wanted to, could probably refuse and could probably overpower his father. But even Isaac, we see him here, he's submitting to what the Lord's called his father to do. And so we can see, even in some sense, we see Isaac's obedience to what the Lord's doing here and calling his father to do. And so Abraham continues to obey. He obeys up until the moment that he's got the knife in his hand up here and he's about to come down and kill his son. And the angel intervenes and says, "Abraham, Abraham." And so we see him trusting the Lord continually all the way up until the moment he's about to kill Isaac. He was willing to follow the Lord even if it meant giving up his only son. And continuing that story I was telling at the beginning about Sarah and I moving to St. Louis. That was 2009. We moved to St. Louis in June of 2011. And a couple things happened, and even in those first couple of weeks, that were very difficult for us. We moved to St. Louis on a Friday, if I remember right, and then the following Friday, I had been in summer Greek class for all of 5 days, and summer Greek is something you never want to do. Just remember that. So, I get a call from Sarah. She may have come by the seminary. I can't remember now. And she was letting me know that her grandmother had a stroke back in Augusta where we just left. And so, you know, that took us back. We were sad. We were upset. We're not there, so we don't know what's going on. And so doubt begins to creep in our mind. What are we doing here? You know, we should be back home. What are we doing in St. Louis? Summer Greek's hard. You know, what am I doing here? And then about a week later after that, I had my first Greek exam. Been in class all of 5 or 6 days, and you have an exam. And no shame in saying this. I've passed ordination and everything now, so I can say this, but I didn't do so well on that first test. And so I really had to work hard. I again, begin to wonder, okay, you know, Sarah's grandmother has this stroke. and she's sick back home. Summer Greek is hard. You know, what are we doing here? Why are we here? It's much safer to go back home and just play it safe. And so those were tough days. There were days we had to look to the Lord and say, Lord, you've got us here, and just show us what you're doing here. And so we stuck with the plan. We stuck with where he called us to. Sarah's grandmother eventually did recover, and I eventually, after much time and effort, began to understand Greek. So, but Abraham, he does the same thing here. He continues to trust the Lord. He's been on this three-day journey, and he doesn't know how this is going to turn out. He knows what God's commanded him to do, but he's trusting God fully throughout all of this story. He doesn't waver. He doesn't turn back. He continues to trust the Lord. And so I want to ask us, is this easy for us to do, just to continually trust the Lord when things don't look good? Or is it easier just to trust the Lord, of course, when things are going well for us? What does it look like for us to continually trust the Lord? If you're a parent and you wonder if your child is walking with the Lord or not, what does it look like to continue to pray to the Lord and trust Him, knowing ultimately it's not what you do, but it's what the Lord does and works in that boy or girl? Or what about if you're just trying to make ends meet month to month? What is it like to continue to trust the Lord, knowing that He is our provider? Or college students, I know we have a lot of college students home with us this summer, and some of you are getting ready to have already graduated and transitioned to the next stage of life, next season of life. What does it look like to trust the Lord as He calls you maybe to move somewhere that's far away, like Sarah and I did 5 years ago? Or if you're an employee and you're in a difficult work situation, difficult coworkers, and what does it look like to stay faithful to that in the midst of that, stay faithful to where God's called you to be? Or if we're falsely accused of something and persecuted, what does it look like to continue to trust the Lord in that, knowing that He's with you even in the bad times? Or maybe you've been diagnosed with a sickness or something like that. And again, what does it look like to continue to trust the Lord, knowing that He is with you? He was with Abraham. He is with us. He is with His people. God's faithful. So what does it look like to continue to trust the Lord? Abraham knew that he could trust the Lord even when it looked bad. Again, it's not looking good here. His only son, Isaac, he's been commanded to give him up and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. But Abraham continues to go forward and trust the Lord even in these difficult times. And the Lord calls us to do the same, even as hard as it is. But Abraham, he continues to trust the Lord. As I said, he trusts Him as he has made the preparations. He's gone to Moriah. He's laid Isaac on top of the wood and on the altar. And so he's continuing to trust the Lord. But there's also something else in here that we get a glimpse into of Abraham's thought process. And we see that he trusts the Lord confidently. That's the third thing we see. Abraham's trusting the Lord confidently in these verses. In 1942, World War II is breaking out all over the world. The U.S. has just become involved. And in 1942, the U.S. had a holding in the Philippines, in the Pacific. And in 1942, they were run out. The Japanese Army ran them out, Navy ran them out. And Douglas MacArthur was the famous American commander in the Philippines. And there's a famous statement that he said once they were run out. He says, "I came out of Bataan and I shall return." MacArthur was exuding some sort of confidence that he was going to return there, that the American forces were going to return to the Philippines. And in fact, in 1944, they did return as they regained the island and took it back. He was confident that they would return there. But there is something I want to point out between MacArthur here and Abraham. MacArthur's confidence was in man and what he could do and what the American military could do. I don't know where MacArthur stood with the Lord, but I know Abraham did. Abraham trusted God. He wasn't trusting in man at this point in his life. Abraham was trusting in God. He didn't try to fix it himself like he did when they went down to Egypt. He didn't try to fix it like he did with Hagar years before this. But he's confidently trusting in the Lord in these verses. And we see it in Abraham's words. Abraham's words reveal the confidence that he had. If we look at verse 5, Abraham's speaking to his servants, and he says, "I and the boy," he and Isaac, talking about Isaac, "will go over there and worship and come again to you." And typically when I prepare sermons and preach, I don't like to really get into and talk about the Hebrew or Greek language much, but it is important to point out here the verbs here for come again and worship are both in the plural form. And so Abraham's saying that he and Isaac are going to worship. They're going to go over there and worship, but they're going to come again. And so it's somewhere in Abraham is saying somehow God is going to work this out. He has this confidence that he and Isaac are going to return. And he had had 3 days to think about this, as I said, on the road. And so Abraham's been thinking about these things. He knows somehow God is going to work in this. He doesn't know how, but he's trusting the Lord fully in this. And then in verses 7 and 8, when Isaac asks, excuse me, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham responds, God will provide. He's going to provide the lamb. Okay, there's no hesitation in Abraham's voice here. He immediately responds and says, God's going to provide. Again, showing that confidence. James Boyce, a longtime Presbyterian minister at 10th Pres in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, says, Abraham has faith to expect a resurrection. Okay, of course, we don't get Abraham's full thought process, but Abraham had faith to think that there would be some sort of resurrection. If God's commanding him to sacrifice Isaac, he knows God is good enough that he can expect a resurrection. And then in Hebrews 11 that we heard from earlier today gives us a little more insight into what Abraham was thinking. The writer to the Hebrews says, he, talking about Abraham, considered that God was able even to raise him, talking about Isaac, from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And so Abraham was confident that God would provide, in this situation, even if it meant a resurrection, even if it meant him killing and sacrificing his son, he believed that God could perform a resurrection. And so, do we have this confidence? We see this confidence here exuded in Abraham, but do we have this same confidence? When things are falling apart in our lives, around the world, if you look at the news lately, there's a shooting every other day when you turn on the news. Orlando, ISIS attacks, the Bastille in France, Turkey, you name it, and there are things going on in the world, and it seems like things are falling apart. Seems like things are always getting worse. Or if we lose family members to death, sometimes, even in the course of a couple of months, I've known people who've been in these same type situations, losing family members over the course of just a couple of months. Or if we lose a job, or whatever it might be, when things are falling apart, are we able to confidently say, like Abraham is in these verses, that God's going to provide? He's trusting the Lord. Can we trust the Lord like Abraham is here? Is God really good? Is the question we ask ourselves. And so looking back on my time in St. Louis, it wasn't crazy that God called us there. We might have thought it in the moment. We might have thought, you want me to do what? As I've said before, but I think God has there for a reason. It wasn't always easy. I've mentioned a couple of things. There were some other obstacles that we faced there. But God used that time to grow us, I believe, in our faith. And that's what God does, is he uses these times in our lives, these times of testing, to really prove what we believe. And so I say this, not that I had it all figured out and I trusted the Lord perfectly. I'm not the hero of my story. And neither is Abraham the hero of his story here. Yes, Abraham did great things in here, but God is the hero of this story. God's the hero of all of our stories. And here in Genesis 22, God's the hero in verse 13 as he provides the ram. Okay, when Abraham's about to sacrifice Isaac, he provides the ram for a burnt offering. God provided. Abraham wasn't the hero, but God was the hero. Abraham trusted God. He knew him to be faithful. After all these years of following him, he knew God to be faithful. Even when Abraham messed up, he knew God was there with him. And so when God comes to him and says, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him, Abraham was able to quickly get up the next morning and make preparations to go to Moriah. He was able to continually trust him over that 3-day journey, those 50 miles to Moriah. He was able to trust the Lord knowing that God was with him and God was going to do something in this. He didn't know what. He didn't know exactly what it was going to look like, but he knew God was with him. And he could say with confidence, as he said to his servants, that we're going to return. I and the boy will go over there and worship, and we're going to come again to you. And so, as I said in the beginning, Abraham finally got it right here in these verses. He finally trusted the Lord, perfectly. He did what God commanded him to do, and the Lord provided for him. And this is the same kind of trust that we're called to exhibit as we go about our lives in this world. But we don't always do this, do we? We know we don't trust the Lord perfectly. And neither did Abraham, as we've already explained. But Abraham knew that he needed payment for his sins. He knew that he needed atonement. He needed peace with God. And we know that too. And so the binding of Isaac pointed to another sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, that many years later, in this same area where Moriah was, the city of Jerusalem was built and developed. And outside of Jerusalem on a cross, Jesus, the Son of God, God's only son, Isaac was Abraham's only son, Christ was God's only son, hung on a cross and died for the sins of the world. And when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, when he gave his life, God didn't intervene like he did with Abraham and Isaac. He didn't say stop, but Christ died in our place for our sins. And so God showed his provision for our sins in the death of his son. Now, does this mean that God's going to provide? The question that comes to mind is, does this mean God's going to provide all that we ever need and all that we ever want, all that we ever ask for? And if you're in a spot where, you know, you desire to be married, this passage doesn't mean that God's necessarily going to give you a husband or a wife. Husband or wife is a good thing, but just because you pray for it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what God's going to provide. If your child's going to always be healthy, or you're going to live a long life, or have a great job, a perfect job, that's not what's promised in these verses. Financial security or a dream home is not promised in these verses. And so God might not provide what we always want, but he provides what we need most of all. And that's a Savior who dies in our place. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, as Romans 8 says. Nothing can separate us. Not tribulation, not famine, not hunger, not danger, not distress, not anything. And so we can trust the Lord, as Abraham did. We can trust him quickly and follow his word, follow his commands. We can continue to trust him even through the hard times in our lives. And we can do so with confidence, knowing that God is for us. Because God provided atonement. He provided payment for our sins in his only son, Christ. We know that God can be trusted, even in the hard spots, in the hard moments, in the difficulties of our lives. God can be trusted because he didn't spare his only son. And so thinking back on this story of Abraham, how was he able to trust God? I think of this a song called He's Always Been Faithful. It was played at our wedding. It's to the tune of Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And God's always been faithful. That's the theme of this song. And that's the theme of Abraham's life. God had always been faithful to him. Even when he messed up, even when he didn't get things right, God had been faithful to him. And so God has been faithful to us. Even though we don't understand all of what's going on in our lives, we can trust the Lord because he's provided for our most greatest need, our ultimate need, in his son on the cross, in Jesus' death and his resurrection. So we can trust the Lord because he is for us. He has given us what we need most. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for the story that it tells. Lord, that you have provided what we need most. And what we need most is forgiveness of sins. And that has been provided in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your only son. Lord, we pray that you would give us the faith to follow you, even in the hard times, when you call us to do hard things, that we would remember Abraham and that he followed you, and knowing that you were for him and not against him. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.